Are actions a necessary requirement of being a believer or not? This is the controversy. Is it simply enough to say, I'm a Muslim and that's it, do nothing? Or must you follow it up with some actions? What is the minimal amount that is required to be a Muslim? Ahlul Sunnah, by and large, they said that you must have some actions to be a Muslim. Clear. The question is, how much do you need? What is the minimal requirements? And as for their evidences, there are plenty of evidences to indicate that actions are a necessary part of Iman. One of the most explicit evidences is Surah Baqarah verse 143, where the Sahaba, when the change of Qibla came from Jerusalem to Mecca, the Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, those Sahaba who died before this verse came down, and they used to pray facing Jerusalem, will Allah accept their salah? Will Allah accept their salah? And Allah revealed, Surah Baqarah verse 143, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُضِيعَ إِيمَانَكُمْ Allah will not cause your iman to go to waste. So Allah called their salah their iman, thus equating their salah with their iman. Thus saying, if they didn't have salah, they wouldn't have iman. So literally, salah and iman are used as synonym here. If they didn't have salah, they wouldn't have iman. And in Surah Ar-Rum, second verse, Allah says that, did man think, Alif Lam Mim غلبت الروم أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون? Did man think that we would only want him to say that he believes and we would not test him and that he would be left like this? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ We have tested those before, we're going to test you. Meaning Allah is saying He is not satisfied with merely saying, I'm a Muslim, I'm a mu'min. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا Do you think iman is only to say, I believe? Also in the Quran, in Surah Al-Bayyinah verse 5, Allah says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ حُنَفَاءَ وَيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَيُؤْتُوا الزَّكَاةَ وَذَلِكَ دِينُ قَيِّمًا They have only been commanded to worship Allah and pray and give zakah, and that is the religion. So Allah made shahada and salah and zakah the religion. Okay? And in Surah At-Tawbah, when Allah Azza wa Jal says that the mushrikun have to leave Arabia, the Arabian Peninsula, except for those who repent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, except for those who repent, that فَإِن تَابُوا وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ So Allah Azza wa Jal clearly is talking about the pagans, the idol worshippers. Then Allah says, فَإِن تَابُوا If they repent, from what? Shirk. وَأَقَامُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَوُوا الزَّكَاةَ And they pray, and they give zakah, then فَإِخْوَانُكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ Then and only then they become your brethren in faith. Which clearly indicates if they didn't pray and they didn't give zakah, they would not be your brethren in faith. And there are over 70 verses in the Quran. Every one of you has memorized some of them. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ Never in the whole Quran does Allah say, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا And then, not follow it with amilu salihat. Iman and amal are always paired together to indicate what? That actions and iman go hand in hand. So, to be very explicit, there are four theoretical scenarios. Okay? Four theoretical scenarios. Understand this point, you'll understand the whole controversy. First scenario, you believe in your heart and you act outwardly according to the laws of Islam. What is this? This clearly iman. Clearly you are Muslim. No ikhtilaf, right? If you believe in your heart and you act according to Islam, no ikhtilaf. Second scenario, you don't believe in your heart that Allah created you and you don't act. Clearly kafir, no difference of opinion. Third scenario, you don't believe at all, but outwardly you act. Munafiq, hypocrite. Clear? This is no controversy. Everybody agrees to this. It's the fourth scenario where the controversy exists. The fourth scenario is, you believe in your heart that Islam is true, that the Prophet ﷺ is a prophet, that the Quran is wahi from Allah, that there is a day of judgment, that Allah created you, but you do not do anything of the arkan of Islam. This is the controversy. Orthodox Sunni Islam says, this scenario is not called iman. You understand this point? This scenario is close to iman, but it's not iman. This is maybe somebody who's thinking about converting maybe, but we would not consider him to be a Muslim. Even if he says he's a Muslim, he's not a Muslim according to this opinion. You understand this point? Because to be a Muslim, you have to demonstrate in your actions. This is what Orthodox Sunni Islam says. Other versions, and there are opinions even within some people who are within the general fold of Sunni Islam, they say that this person is a Muslim and he's a sinful Muslim and Allah might forgive him on the Day of Judgment. This is the controversy. So the point being, Orthodox Islam, Sunni Islam says, inner belief and outer actions are linked together. You cannot have one without the other. Inner beliefs and outer actions go hand in hand. So, according to Sunni Islam, true belief in Allah and the Day of Judgment and Jannah and Jahannam requires you to prepare for that day at some bare minimal level. If you do not prepare for that day, then your mere knowledge is devoid of any actual, tangible fruits and meaning. And you might as well not have that actual knowledge. And realize that there are, for the purposes of this one class, I'll summarize, there are three opinions within Orthodox Sunni Islam that are acceptable. So within Sunni Islam, this is one of those controversies that exists within our own tradition. There are three opinions. The first opinion, and I would say this is the majority opinion clearly, is that the minimal requirement to be a Muslim is to pray, or to even on-off pray. Not necessarily all five prayers, but just to be somewhat regular in your prayers. Pray like semi-regularly. At least this person, we consider him to be a Muslim. And according to this opinion, the one who never prays any salah, he never lowered his head to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such a person is simply not considered a Muslim. And by the way, this is a very strong opinion. And all you need to do is to think of the issue of Iblis, where Allah commanded him to do one sajda. And this was a command of a sajda. And the sajda was not even to Allah, it was to Adam. But Allah commanded him to do one sajda. And Iblis felt too arrogant to obey Allah's command to do sajda. So because of one sajda, Iblis is considered a kafir. As one of the scholars of the past said, I believe it was Sufyan ibn Uyayna, I'm not sure. He said, so Iblis kafar because of one sajda. So how about the one who is called to do over 30 sajdas every day, and he keeps on finding an excuse not to do sajda? And it's simple food for thought, right? That Allah is requiring you to prostrate your head, and you continue to say, and our Prophet ﷺ said, Allah has made it haram for the fire of hell to eat any of the sajda parts, the parts of sajda, right? And you will be recognized by, according to some reports, the sajda parts as well as the wudu parts. So this is the first opinion, that the criterion for to be a Muslim is to say the shahada and to pray at least some of the prayers. And this is also proven in Surah Al-Qiyamah, فَلَا صَدَّقَ وَلَا صَلَّى وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. He neither gave charity nor did he pray. And by the way, every evidence used here is also going to be used in the second opinion, which is obvious, which is that you have to pay zakat as well. Surah Al-Muddathir, verse 42. When the angels say, how did you end up in Jahannam? قَالُوا مَا سَلَكَكُمْ فِي سَقَرْ. What do the people of Jahannam say? قَالُوا لَمْ نَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُصَلِّينَ. We were not of those who used to pray. Surah Al-Mursalat, verse 48. وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمْ ارْكَعُوا لَا يَرْكَعُونَ. When it is said to them to make ruku', they do not make ruku'. So Allah considered these people non-Muslims because they don't bow down and they don't do sajda. They don't bow down and they don't do sajda. Also Surah Al-Baqarah verse 143, we also mentioned this, that Allah called their iman, He called it their salah, He called it their iman. And Imam Al-Bukhari says, so this is clearly Imam Al-Bukhari's opinion, Imam Al-Bukhari says, no other action has been called iman other than salah. Allah literally synonymously used the term iman to talk about the term salah. No other action has just been eclipsed and used by the term iman other than salah. And Ibn Mas'ud and others said, Ibn Mas'ud's student said, that the Sahaba did not consider any of the actions to leave it to be kufr other than the salah. Other than the salah. So, and also the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is in Sahih Muslim, بَيْنَ الرَّجُلِ وَبَيْنَ الرَّجُلِ وَالْكُفْرِ وَالشِّرْكِ تَرْكُ الصَّلَاةِ. Between a man and kufr and shirk is leaving the salah. Between a man and kufr and shirk is leaving the salah. So quite literally, kufr and shirk and salah is the line. So all of these evidences seem to suggest that the salah is a necessary part of Islam. This is the first opinion. The Al-Ahd Alladhi Bainahu Wabayna, so we can go on and on. Ibn Al-Qayyim has the most comprehensive book ever written in the history of mankind about this issue. It is called The Ruling on the One Who Abandons the Prayer. It's a mini volume. Hukmu Tarik As-Salah, an entire volume that is dedicated to every single evidence. And he has dozens of evidences. And if you read the book, I mean, honestly, it is difficult not to be completely convinced that definitely at least position one is right. And honestly, it makes sense because, this is clearly, I sympathize with the first and then later on other positions as well, but clearly number one, simple reason. What is the kalima? La ilaha illallah. What does it translate? There is no deity worthy of worship other than Allah. Okay, so if a person says it, show the worship. Show the worship. If you don't show the worship, then how have you really believed in the kalima? And the ultimate symbol of worship is what? To take your noblest part of the body, and that is your head, and to physically put it in the sand and in the dust where people walk, so that you show Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have no arrogance when it comes to worshiping Him. This is the essence of ibadah. And that is why the salah, the main point of the salah is the sajda. Right? That's the only thing we actually do twice in every rak'ah. To illustrate this is the purpose of the salah, is the sajda. So when you say la ilaha illallah, show us the ibadah. If you don't have the ibadah, where is the la ilaha illallah? You're saying there's no deity worthy of worship other than Allah, show us the worship. You don't have any worship if you're not actually praying. And any other trivial good deed does not compare to the actuality of the salah. This is the second opinion. The first opinion is salah only. The second opinion is salah and zakah. The third opinion, and this third opinion seems to be Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal's, it is Ibn Taymiyyah's, Sa'id ibn Jubayr's opinion and others, is that, in fact, theoretically speaking, it is the arkan, but realistically, how do you judge the arkan? You can only judge the salah and the zakah. So, according to this third opinion, salah and zakah are merely outward mechanisms to check for the five arkan. And they say, what are the arkan other than necessary requirements for Islam? What does a rukun mean other than an essential component without which the whole building can never be built? So it makes no sense to take away one of the arkan and say, oh, salah only, or salah and zakah only. And so this position is that all five of the arkan, in fact, and this is actually in contrast to the belief of many average Muslims. Many average Muslims believe that if I don't pray and I don't fast and I don't, you know, give zakat, I'm a bad Muslim. Whereas what all three opinions are saying is that the one who doesn't pray out of laziness, he never prays. And alhamdulillah, the majority of the Muslim world prays at least irregularly. Would you agree with this? Part-time, yeah. So we're not talking about really large groups of Muslims. We were talking about those Muslims, and I think all of us know one or two people like that. Some of us might know more such people like that. That they simply have nothing to do with Islam at all. They never ever pray. And they don't fast. And they claim to be Muslim. We're not talking about that group that makes fun of Islam and thinks themselves to be enlightened and like you backward people. These are murtads because they're mocking Islam anyway. We're not talking about that category, that who mock religion and religiosity. Yeah, these people are different. We're talking about the one who, if you were to ask him, are you Muslim? He says, of course I'm a Muslim. I just don't pray. This is the group we're talking about. I just don't fast. And how many percentage is that? Hardly any, I would say. Very small percentage. So the point being, these are the three opinions.